I've enjoyed going through the scriptures the last couple of weeks on our purposes. And again, you see these purposes throughout the Bible, throughout the story of scripture, glorifying God in worship, growing in Christ as we follow him, right? Giving our lives away in mission and ministry, and then going into the world, near and far, going into the world with the gospel, going with the hope of Jesus. This morning, we're going to think specifically about giving our lives in mission and in ministry. God has equipped us. God has made us ready. God has changed us. God has filled us with his hope, with the gospel. We are then to give all of that away and give our lives away in the process. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, right after he had told the disciples to take up the cross and follow me, Jesus said this. He said, "For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" Right, this is one of the great paradoxes within the scripture, a great paradox of faith. This idea that when you say it, it doesn't seem to make sense, but as you live into it, it does make sense. One of these great gospel paradoxes is to lose life in order to find life. Losing life to find life. Let Jesus have your life in order for Jesus to fill you with life. Or as we're stating it, giving your life away. Giving yourself away in order to be then filled with the gospel. Right, the work of God in Jesus Christ is a work that will fill you up. Right, it will fill you with the hope. It'll fill you with peace. It'll fill you with purpose. Right, but you're always being filled in order then for God to use you in the world. Right? We can't let the gospel get clogged up in our lives. We can't let the blessing of God into our lives get stuck in our hearts. Right? It must move through us. It must flow through us. It's got to move. It's got to flow. And so we've got to be consistently emptied out. As God fills us, we empty all that God has given us into the church, into the world, into our family, into the workplace, into our schools, everywhere God sends us. We let our lives be used up for God's glory. And in fact, that's following the pattern of Jesus. We looked last week, as we grow in Christ, we're looking for those patterns of Jesus, those norms that Jesus had. How can we then live in those patterns? In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes how Jesus emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Apparently, we were meant to hear that one, because it got very loud. Jesus emptied himself, right? That was the pattern of his life, the pattern that he moved toward the cross to give his life away. But then Philippians 2 takes a turn in verse 9. It says, "Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." All right, so the pattern there that you see in Jesus is the emptying of himself out all the way to the cross, giving his life away that we might find life, and then God takes that and exalts Jesus. So that through the emptying of his life and then the power of the resurrection, his is the name that is above every name. His is the life that we pattern ourselves on. His is the salvation that has filled us, that is supposed to move through us into the world. So we're always supposed to be giving our lives away, giving ourselves away, emptying ourselves out. And then this great gospel paradox is that you're not left empty. Right? As you give yourself, as you empty yourself out, God consistently fills. Right? God isn't interested in using a servant where the gospel gets stuck. Right? God is looking for servants through whom the gospel moves, through whom the hope moves. So I'm excited this morning for Sean Ingram to come and speak. For Sean to come and share this very truth, how it has worked in his life. God pouring into his life, and Sean taking all that God has been doing and pouring that into others. So Sean, go ahead and come. You'll be glad to hear his story. If you haven't met Sean, you'll want to do that after the service. I know a lot of folks at the early service took some time to meet him and talk to him. But I'm excited for him to come and share about this purpose in our life and the life of the church, how we give our life away in mission and ministry. Sean, let's pray together. God, we thank you for the opportunity for Sean to come and speak, sharing his heart and how you have shaped and changed him. God, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. I need to... But sometimes we don't really get to have a lot of these conversations. And I just want to share my mission and ministry this morning with y'all and tell y'all my truth. Is that okay? And my testimony and my truth is that God will always be faithful to his word and his promise to you. You know, I was a kid that grew up in Greene County, North Carolina. Anybody know about Greene County? Stantonsburg, to be exact, down a little dirt path. Me and my grandmother, we lived behind a cornfield. I'm only 42. I had an outhouse until I was 10 years old. So when you talk about severe poverty, that's the environment that I grew up in. And I want you to paint this picture in your mind as I continue to talk to you. So imagine this little kid growing up behind this cornfield with this dirt path and the woods and the cornfields and the tobacco fields. That was my playground. I know some of y'all can relate to this story, right? And we had a couple of rows of a garden, maybe about five rows of a garden. I think we had some string peas, some collards. I think we had one row of corn. We had a chicken farm. We actually had a hog pen at the same time. So no matter how poor we was, one thing we didn't do, we didn't go hungry. Now, I could definitely say that. But see, where I'm from, dreams wasn't believable. You know, for me, growing up in Greene County, I graduated at the bottom of my class. I think I even graduated with a 1.7. So for y'all that understand that, you know, that's very, very low. And I want you to take time and I want you to see this kid as I continue to speak. And where I'm from, just graduating, and if you can graduate and then maybe get a job at Firestone making $10 to $12 an hour, you succeeded. You made it. That's your goal. That's what your aspiration is. Now, I was a football player. I was a star football player at the same time. And I had scouts to come and see me, and I was always in the newspaper, Wilson Daily Times, and I was always on Football Friday. But for some reason, nobody ever told me to take an SAT. And that crushed me. That hurt my feelings. That broke my heart. I want to go back a little bit. I want you to think about this as a movie. So I want to flash back when I was 8 years old. At 8 years old, I would have these visions. And these visions would be words. And I promise you, in my visions, I would paint these pictures and these words would just start to formulate in my mind. And sometimes I would sit there and I would just look up at the ceiling. I even remember this time my aunt was at my house visiting and she walked by my room and I was laying down on the bed just looking at the ceiling. And she told my grandmother, she said, you know, you might want to check on your grandson. I think he might be a little bit crazy. He's sitting in there laying on the bed looking at the ceiling talking to himself. And these words would continue to formulated in my mind, and I would start seeing things, and I would start having all these visions, and as these words continue to formulate, I learned something as time went on, because see, where I'm from, growing up in the streets and growing up tough, and you know, writing was for like my cousin's girls that wrote in their diary, so it wasn't cool to be a poet. It wasn't cool to be a writer. But as I continued to get older, I started learning something that it wasn't about me, it was about God's gift for me. Now, I want you to think about this poverty that I talked to you about a little bit earlier, right? And coming from where I'm coming from and not having the exposure and not having the experience to go beyond. Because see, for me, even though it was a little bitty small TV at that time, success was only for the people in the TV. Being an author or a motivational speaker, that was only for the people in that little bitty TV that I saw. I never would imagine in my wildest dreams that God would give me gifts and talents to inspire and to motivate and to help others. One that could barely read itself. See, I'm even dyslexic. A lot of people don't even know that. I'm dyslexic. So you're talking about one that could barely read, now I have seven books in bookstores. It ain't about me. It's about God's gift that he gives to me to help others. Just like you have a gift. How many of you know what your gift is? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand high if you know what your gift is. And see, when you have that gift, you can utilize that gift. See, when I went to prison and when I was 22 years old, I spent 5 years in a federal prison. And right before I went into prison, my mother had passed, like 2 or 3 weeks before I went into prison. So as soon as I got into prison, I was sitting in solitary confinement for about 30 days. And in solitary confinement, it was one thing that I had this conversation with God. I said, God, you know, what do you want of me? Like, what do you want of me? I've tried everything. I've tried to be the good kid. I've been a bad kid. I mean, I've tried. What do you want of me? But nothing seems to work out in my life. All I know is heartache and pain and anguish. And what do you want of me? And God, just as clear as day, I used to hear my grandmama talk about, you know, when you in that solitude and you in that silence, you can hear the voice of God. And I ain't never a believer, I'll be honest with you. But just as clear as day, God told me, he said, son, I gave you every gift and talent that you ever need, but you never done it for me. So I asked him, what? How? Everything that you've been through, I brought you through. I gave you the gift and talent that you needed, but now I need you to do it for me. Those visions, those words, the singing, everything that I give you, do it for me to uplift and build up my kingdom, to inspire my people, to let them know the same way I could save them, I saved you. How did you save me, God? I'm sitting here in a federal prison. My grandmother, you know what I mean, been struggling her whole life. My mom just passed. How did you save me? Because everything that you've been through, I brought you through. I said, wow. So when I talk about some of those gifts, the gifts of writing, like, so I write poems. And one of those poems was, he shot, but he hit not, but he almost grazed me. Fear closed my eyes, so I didn't even see when God saved me. See, I heard the voice of an old lady, grandmama, or angel maybe saying, baby, you digging your own grave, so I'm praying for you faithfully. This voice to inspire. Now, the same kid that grew up and went through all those trials and tribulations, now I have an academy to help kids stay out of the criminal system. I sit before governors and senators to help create game plans and strategies and laws and legislators to help kids stay out of the criminal system. That gift, the same gift that I ran from, the same gift that I said, nah, God, how can I be a leader? How can I be a role model? But I want you to think about this, and maybe y'all will remember some of this in the scriptures a little bit. He said he'll take the low and put them on high. He'll take the one at the back of the line and put them as a leader. But I've learned that sometimes you just got to let go and let God, because I fought away from it. And no matter where I try to go, he detoured me back to his mission and his ministry. All the times that I was afraid, all the times I felt like giving up, he detoured me back to his mission and his ministry. And I want you to think about your gift. And see, sometimes I think we minimize our gift. See, my gift might be different from your gift. You know, I've been a member here a while. So I've had a chance to eat a couple of times. So some of those cakes that's made, some of those banana puddings, that's a blessing to me. So if you don't know it or not, even your gift of cooking could be a blessing for somebody. The conversations that we've had, and sometimes they pat me on the back outside. You don't know what I've been going through that morning that make that conversation or that inspiration that you give me so important to me. Think about your gifts and talents of just being able to smile. You don't know that smile when you walking in Walmart. You smiling at somebody might just help them and motivated them or save their life. That phone call that came into you 11 o'clock when you was tired. But that person just needed somebody to talk to. You don't know that gift just helps save somebody. The voices that we have to sing inspires people to keep going even when we feel like giving up sometimes. No matter how big or small you think your gift may be in God's eyes, and see, sometimes that's what we don't understand. It's not on our time, it's on God's time. Your whole life, if you look back through your whole life and you see step by step or scene by scene, you understand now how it actually, and this is what I call justifying your journey, how everything that you've gone through helped you get to right where you are right now. You know, when I was in prison, I wanted to sing a little bit. And because somebody told me, say, Sean, if you incorporate singing with your spoken word and your motivational speaker, you could touch more people. I said, I can't sing, though. I'm tone deaf. So I just started working at it. Now, I promise you, for me, when I started singing, it's like, anybody ever been in prison in here? Okay, good. But, so prison, imagine this room, and all we could do is walk around this room 5 years. We can't go outside. You know outside is outside, looks beautiful, beautiful sunny day, but all you could do is look out that window for 5 years and you walk around. It would drive you crazy. So this song that I had in my heart allowed the walls and the barbed wire and the fences to fade away. And it was a simple song. It said, pass me not, oh gentle Savior, Lord, hear my humble cry. Lord, why under the czar thy calling? Lord, do not pass me by. Now, I never imagined that standing on stages singing for people inspired people to get up. I just want to tell you this little story right before I sit down. I remember performing one night. We was in a little club outside of Raleigh, in Raleigh, downtown. And I remember performing some spoken word, and I remember the door being open, and this homeless guy, he was sitting outside of this venue. And I'm just doing my thing. I'm just performing. And then when I finished performing, I walked outside, and this homeless man stood up, and he hugged me. And he said, thank you. He said, your words made me want to get back up again. I think I was probably 19 at the time. And I'll be honest with y'all, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I did not understand the power that the gift that God gave me to give others was. So as I close this morning, I encourage you, I beg of you to utilize your gift and give them. Because one thing I could promise you, I've tried everything in my life, y'all. I've tried every hustle. I've tried to be smart. I've tried everything I know. But when I started giving my gift for the glory of God, he has given me so much that I can never imagine. And you've seen it in your life also. Sometimes we just don't recognize the blessing. Give your gift to benefit the growing of the kingdom, and God will give you everything that you need to benefit you. So I trust and believe that y'all understand what I'm saying this morning. Let go and let God. I know there's been some people in this church this morning that's been fighting with letting go and letting God. It is. It's like stepping off the boat onto water and you trying to figure out, how am I going to stand on this water? But trust me, let go and let God. I can't swim that great. My wife been trying to teach me how to back float for years. But you know, the crazy thing about it is, it's not about learning how to back float, right? It's about learning how to relax, right? To be at peace, right or wrong. It's not about learning how to, because as soon as you lose that peace, what happens? We drown. I had to learn to let go and just trust and believe that God got me the same way he has you. So I want to say thank you this morning. And like Pastor said, if you do have any other questions, I'll be at the back of the church at the end of the service. Thank you. God bless. And thank you again, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity to share my mission and ministry.
And I do encourage you to talk to Sean, hear more of his story. You just got sort of a snapshot of his story. There's probably things in his story that connect all our stories in different ways. But what Sean is doing, we can all do. not in particular. See, what Sean is doing is because God has gifted him and God has led him to do the things that he's doing. The work he's doing with youth and young adults, helping them stay out of the criminal system. The work he's doing with the Nail Tech Academy, this stuff is great. That's his gifts and his passion. But we all are gifted. We all have talents. We all have passions. We all have opportunities to serve. And that gift in you and the giving in you happens in accordance with how God has gifted you, the passions God has set within your own heart. That's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful and dynamic and beautifully diverse, is that every part of the body is constantly giving itself in ministry and in mission. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I invite you to turn there for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole entire chapter is Paul encouraging the church in relationship to the gifts the Spirit pours out upon the church. That the Spirit has equipped the church to serve one another and serve in the world, and that everybody is invited to be part of that celebration of gifts. Right? Nobody's left out of that. We'll hit that in just a moment. But beginning in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And if you've read 1 Corinthians 12, you start to see some listing of those spiritual gifts, the ways in which the Spirit empowers and gifts the church to serve one another and to minister to each other and into our world, right? So that you see the differences in all those kinds of gifts. But you hear Paul saying that in all the varieties of gifts, in all the different ways that the church is empowered, it's the same God who is activating all of that in everyone, right? It's all coming from God. God, in giving his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life away upon the cross, the power of the resurrection, Jesus has then ascended, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit then moves into us, right? The one God moving his work into us, but gifting us in manifold ways. So Paul goes on to explain in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not everybody can be an eye. Right? If everybody's an eye, we're going to see really well, but we're not going to hear a thing. Right? If everybody's a nose, we're going to be able to smell those cakes and smell that good cooking, but guess what? We won't have a mouth to eat it with. And that would be tragic. If everybody's a foot, right, we'll walk around and run into the wall because we won't see. You get the point, right? The body is a manifold makeup of different gifts so that the church works together in the ministry of God. But everybody is gifted. So at the end of verse 7, you see to each is given. To each. If you are in Christ, you are gifted. Nobody's left out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right? If you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you have moved into that relationship with God, you've professed your faith, right? The Spirit is at work in you. To each is given. But why? Why is it given to each? It's not given for you. To each is given for the what? The common good. To each is given to build up the body of Christ. Your giftedness, the way in which God has formed you, your passions, your gifts, your talents are not just for you, but they are so that you, using those gifts, build up the body of Christ. As you build up the body of Christ, we strengthen our ministry to one another. As we strengthen our ministry to one another, we strengthen our mission into the world, right? Your gifts are for that purpose. Everybody is given. Nobody is left out of these spiritual gifts. And God is the one that activates it in all of us. And so we're invited into this wonderful gospel paradox. The paradox that Sean was talking about briefly. Right? That in order to be filled, we've got to get emptied. Right? In order to recognize the movement, the constant movement of God's Spirit in us, we've got to let that Spirit move through us so that we empty ourselves out. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. God is not interested in servants in whom the gospel gets clogged up. Right? So when we come into worship, when we come into the life of the church, right, notions of I've got to come and get what I need only make sense if what you need is so that you can give. Right? So that it can move through you into others. You can't come and get filled and then leave and just be filled, right? You can't come back and say, well, next Sunday I'll get filled again. I'm going to get so filled up with the glory of God. I'm going to get so filled up with God's goodness, so filled up with God's hope, until at point what? It gets stopped up in you, right? To be filled is then to be a conduit for all that God is doing in you, to give your life away, to give your hope away, to give that ministry away, to give that mission away, to constantly let that thing be flowing through you into the lives of others, into the life of your family, into the life of the people that you work with, the people you're going to school with, right? And to every other place that God sends us where we find ourselves, constantly letting the grace, mercy, hope, the goodness of God flow through us. And the way in which we're talking about that in terms of purpose, your purpose as an individual, but the purpose of New Hope Baptist Church as well, is to give away, right? Give our life away. That's the very pattern of Jesus, who gave his life away upon the cross, who invited you as a disciple, take up the cross and follow me, right? Take up the way of the cross, the way of giving your life away, and follow me. Because anybody, Jesus says, who wants to save their life, who wants to keep it for themselves, who wants to keep all of this glory and power and blessing and just kind of hold on to it and hold it in here, Jesus says, you will lose your life. That's not how it works, he said. But no, those who lose it, those who give it away, that's where life is found. Sean and I had a chance to meet together this week. He joked at 9 o'clock. I was hoping you would joke that Sean and I were meeting at a restaurant and we were at two different restaurants. And we were talking on the phone. It was like, where are you at? Like, I'm at this one. All right, I'll be there in just a minute. So we finally got together. But I didn't tell this at the early service, but we talked about hitting a home run. Do you remember that, Sean? Right, when you hit a home run, there's a couple of ways in which you can do that, right? You hit a home run and it goes over the fence. How does that athlete then run around the bases, right? It's like the home run jog, right? No hurry, might even be some preening along the way, right? You just hit a home run over the fence. But every now and then, and you see this from Little League, and you see it in the major leagues as well, every now and then you hit something inside the park that takes a funny bounce off the wall, right? Gets away from the player, and you realize, I might be able to get an in-the-park home run. Now, how does that runner go around the bases? Full tilt, right? I mean, they're not even taking a breath, right? They're running first, second, third. They see it home. They're about to pass out. They slide in, and they just slide in there and kind of roll over. And then they're like, taking that breath because they hadn't taken, you know. A couple of ways we can live our lives and giving our lives away, right? We can jog around the bases and just kind of coast into home plate. But I wonder if God has intended for our lives to be more like inside the park home runs, so that when we slide home at the end of everything, right, when we slide into the presence of God, that we slide in having given everything in our run around the bases, giving it all away as we come into the glory of God. That's what Jesus is encouraging in this paradox. It's what Paul picks up in 1 Corinthians 12. Right? When he says everybody is gifted, the Spirit is at work in your life, the Spirit has been poured into your life, let that gift be at work in you. Let it flow through you. Let it flow to others. That's what it's for, right? For your gift to bless me and strengthen me, for my gift to bless you and strengthen you, for the church to do that together, to strengthen one another, so that, right? Not about us, so that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted in all things. So that Jesus is lifted up as the great gift giver. Right? That Jesus is lifted up as the one who has indeed changed our lives, continues to change our lives, continues to send us out. Mission, ministry, giving our lives away in our community, everywhere we go. To each, Paul says in verse 7, to each is given for the common good. Nobody's left out, friends, It's the call for every one of us to give our lives away. I appreciate Sean sharing a bit of his story and the way in which that has worked into his life. But it's working in all of our lives.